You're now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Noonan. A Place of Refuge Noonan is located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, for more exclusive information and updates, download our church app, A Place of Refuge Noonan, or visit our church website at apor-noonan.org. Now, let's join in for today's message.
Read several scriptures in our hearing on this morning. But again, I think it is important in a year where we are determined to be faith walkers, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, I think it's important, essential, that we understand the message of the cross. Again, I think it's important that we understand the message of the cross, the significance of Jesus not just coming to earth, not just taking on flesh, but laying down his life, what would entail him dying, the way in which he did it. Again, don't miss it. It is just essential to the Christian faith that we understand it, that we respect it, that we reverence it. Amen. And above all, that we see it as that which completely changed our lives for the better. And so we want to start by looking at John, the 18th chapter. Let us notice the book of John, the 18th chapter. I'm reading out the New King James Version. I would that you would turn with me, those that have your Bibles. Thank you. Musicians, deacon, thank you. Notice John, the 18th chapter. We're going to read a few verses in John 18, and then we're going to conclude by reading a few verses in John, the 19th chapter. But again, we're teaching on a subject, again, that is essential to the Christian faith, and therefore we need an understanding. But what I love about God is that we can have understanding embedded within us, yet he can give us a better understanding, or he can give us a greater understanding. And so that's what we pray for this morning in the message. Notice John 18, verse number 29 is where we're going to start reading to highlight this story, which is a literal event. This is a real event. This is something that actually took place. And so we are looking at truth on this morning. You say, Pastor, why do you say it that way? Because when it comes to the crucifixion, not just Jesus' death, but also his resurrection, it is held by many to be that which is fiction or fantasy. But we understand that this is a literal event, that this is truth. And so notice John 18, starting at verse number 29, Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" For the Jews and the religious leaders had brought Jesus to Pilate that Pilate may condemn him to death. And so Pilate says again, Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." Now notice, it would seem as if the Jews wanted Jesus to stand trial for the accusations that they were going to bring against him or charge him with. Yet notice that their motives from the start was never to have him put on trial, that it may be a fair or just trial. Notice that from the get-go, Their motive was to put him to death. Because therefore the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. Not to try him, but to put him to death. This they said because when it came to the Jews, they could put a person to death, but only by certain means. One of the main ways was by stoning. And of course, according to the Roman law, they did not stone, but they crucified. And so notice verse 32, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. And so Jesus had already prophesied, it had already been written, how he would be killed. And so it could not be again at the literal hands of the religious leaders, yet it is going to be done through the Gentile or the Roman nation. Y'all hang in here with me throughout this teaching. But notice when we look down at verse 38, because of accusations, Pilate has gotten with Jesus. And in verse 38, Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews after examining Jesus, asking Jesus, what is truth? The Bible says he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. Pilate has examined him based upon his charges or the accusations made against him. And as the one in charge, as the judge, Pilate is decreeing in reference to this trial that this man is found innocent. He's found innocent. Notice that he is found innocent or declared not guilty publicly or openly. Notice it again. Y'all gonna have to really hang in here. Because all of this is important and all of it is relevant. Pilate said to him, what is true? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews, said to them again, I find no fault in him at all. Verse 19, beginning at verse 1. So then Pilate took Jesus and he scourged him. Or he beat him. Because even after finding no fault in Jesus, the religious leaders were persistent that Pilate crucify him anyway. Even to the point of crying out that a robber and a murderer be released who is guilty. And Jesus be crucified, who is openly declared innocent. And so Pilate took Jesus and he scourged him. He beat him. And the Romans twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and they put it on him, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they struck him with their hands. Notice this. He's been scourged or beaten. But notice also that they are mocking him. This is not a respectful way in which they are honoring him when they say to him, Hail, King of the Jews. Notice this is exemplified when after they say this to him, they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, Behold, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. Again, Pilate says he has been beaten. He has been mocked. Even one gospel writer brings out that they even spit on him. But under all these circumstances, Pilate again says to them openly that I find no fault in him. But Pilate, if this is to be the case, then you have beaten an innocent man. You have struck a man who was found not guilty, yet sentenced to punishment anyhow. Verse 5, then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, behold the man. Look at him. Look at the so-called king. Look how we have humbled him. Look how I have shown to you that he is no threat to anyone. For we are doing with him as we please. He has not only been beaten, but he is being humiliated in front of everyone. Verse 6, therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they beheld the man having been beaten. Mind you that this beating, which he took, according to many historians, a lot of people never made it through the beatings. The beating were done to inflict so much pain upon the evildoer, the criminal, that by the time they made it to the cross, they had lost so much blood in the scourging of the beating that if they hadn't died already, they were near death before you begin the final stages of the crucifixion. But he is held up under the beating. He has been resilient through the humiliation. He's taken it all. Everything that they could unleash upon him, he has humbled himself to receive it. Being innocent. Verse number 6. Therefore, when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, you take him and crucify him. For I find no fault in him. And Pilate would continue striving to somehow not be responsible for the death of an innocent man. But they persisted that he die. Verse 16. Then he delivered him, or Jesus, to them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him away. Based upon all that I have spoken thus far, My subject this morning is the crucifixion of Jesus. I want to look at the crucifixion of Jesus. And I would that we would give the Lord a tremendous hand of praise for our subject. Crucifixion is the execution of a person by nailing them to a cross or a tree. Crucifixion is the execution or the killing of a person by nailing them to the cross or the tree. And so when we examine the crucifixion of Jesus, it again is of the utmost importance that we understand that he was crucified as being a blameless man. Pilate had examined him thoroughly based upon every false accusation that was made or levied against him. Yet under this examination, Pilate finds that there is no fault in Jesus, that he is deserving of death, let alone death by the humiliation of the cross. And so he publicly declares Jesus to be an innocent man. And so when we look at the story, the crucifixion of Jesus, it again just behooves us to understand why this is so essential to our faith. Why does it matter so much, Pastor? Why is this particular message so important to the Christian faith? Well, we have to understand, again, as Pilate examines him, it is important that Jesus being the sacrificial lamb, that he has to be the lamb that is without blemish or without sin. And he certainly becomes that for a sinful and disobedient mankind in reference to God the Father. And so we have Jesus as an innocent man being put on trial, and it is a greater picture in view as he stands and takes upon him the sin of the entire world. He is being laid upon him the sin of mankind. Because the Bible tells us that all of us were dead in trespasses and in sin. Romans 6 and 23 teaches us that the wages of sin is death. And so as a sinner, we were all deserving of death. We all were deserving of God's eternal wrath. But yet Jesus, being an innocent man, has come to take upon him our sins. And so he who knew no sin was set from the foundation of the world to die for sinners. And so after Pilate began to scourge Jesus, after he began to humiliate him and to offer him up, if you will, Pilate in verse 5, notice what the Bible says. Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man. Behold the man." Now understand, literally at that time, they were to literally behold, look at or examine him. Pilate wanted them to see the beating that he had inflicted upon him. And so he says to religious leaders, behold the man. Look, examine what he has already endured. And so when they behold the man, or when they examine the man from a literal standpoint, they have nothing but hatred for the man. And we will not be able to literally behold the man, but we will behold the man from a figurative sense in how we accept what this man did. I want you to understand me, because just like them, they were literal. They had to behold him, all that he had been through. Would you hate him or will you love him? Will you hate him or will you love him? And of course, we know that the religious leaders would hate Jesus. They would see all that he had been through, yet they would hate him. And remember what Jesus said. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so when we look at the crucifixion of Jesus, one must ask themselves, do I hate the man or do I love the man? Oh, come on, somebody. I said, when we consider the crucifixion, everyone will have to ask themselves, when they consider what he endured as the Son of God, do I hate the man or do I love the man? Because it is obvious when you look at the text that the religious leaders of that day, they hated Jesus and they wanted him dead from the start. They had a plan of how they would kill him or do away with him. But there is a greater story that the Father is presenting to sinful mankind than just what the religious leaders wanted to do. And this is what makes it so essential to our Christian faith, that we understand Jesus as being our atonement for sin. You have to understand that what he is doing in being such a willing subject is that he is atoning for our sins. Oh, come on, somebody. I say he is atoning for our sins. And so notice when they have to behold the man, that their attitude toward Jesus never changes, even though they see the humiliation put upon him. They see the beating that he took, yet their attitude towards him does not change for the better. But when you look at the story, it's as if they became more and more angrier with him as he goes through the process of atoning man for their sins. But as Pilate continued trying to allow them to know, upon examination after examination, I find no fault in him at all. He examined Jesus again thoroughly and decreed openly or publicly that he was an innocent man, and every charge brought against him that the Jews said were worthy of death, Pilate said he is not deserving to be put to death. And so we have to understand what the Father is doing through the man Jesus. And so notice as they begin to apply pressure to Pilate that he might crucify Jesus, even though he has declared him to be innocent, I want us to understand how they got to Pilate, because the way in which they convinced Pilate to crucify him is important to us. Notice when you look at John, the 19th chapter, I want us to look at verse number 12. Now, again, keeping in mind that Pilate has beat him, Pilate has ridiculed him, he has mocked him, and he has declared him not guilty of all the charges. Pilate has sought ways to release Jesus. But the Jews were more willing to release Barabbas, a man guilty of murder and robbery, and crucify the man who was innocent of all charges. But we cannot be too hard on Barabbas, because we are Barabbas. We are the ones guilty of sin against God. And so understand, Jesus actually took Barabbas' place. It should have been him who died. But Jesus never fought Pilate. He never fought what they was trying to do, for he knew that his kingdom was not of this world. Come on, somebody. He knew that for this purpose, he had came to die. He had came to lay down his life. He had came to take our place. I said he came to take our place. The not guilty standing in the place of the guilty, without so much as trying to free himself, because he has to be our atonement. But notice in John 19 and verse 12, from then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard the saying, he brought Jesus out and set him down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Notice that Pilate again wants to talk to Jesus, but notice that the Jews say to him, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. I want to deal with that. You are not Caesar's friend if you let him go. Pilate, you're going to have to choose your friend. I want to give you three things that it means when they say it to him, that if he allowed Jesus to go, he is not Caesar's friend. Number one, they are saying to Pilate, you are not a supporter of Caesar. You are not a supporter of Caesar. The antithesis of being a supporter of Caesar is to be against Caesar. If you let this man go, then you are against Caesar. You are not a supporter. Number two, he was saying to him, you are not a servant of Caesar. The antithesis is, if you're not a servant of Caesar, then you are an enemy of Caesar. And then finally, if you are a friend of Caesar, then you love Caesar. The antithesis of love, if you do not love Caesar, then you hate Caesar. Pastor, why are you breaking that down like that? Because the same way it was put to Pilate in reference to Caesar, it is also put to all of us in reference to God. Are we a supporter of God? Are we a servant of God? Do we love God? Or are we against God? Are we an enemy of God? Are we found to be haters of God? Look at the book of James. I told you I just wanted to teach this. Look at the book of James. Let's find out why this is important. Because see, even though Jesus was the atonement for mankind's sin, even though he was the one who was set to reconcile man back to God, those who do not receive his atoning work do so because of their friendship with the world. Notice this, because this is important. Notice James 4 and verse 4. Because James talks about people who are an enemy of God. And see, understand, if a person hears the truth of the crucifixion message, yet they do not accept the atoning sacrifice made by Jesus, no matter how much they claim with their mouth to love God, they are found to be a hater of God. They are found to be against God, listen, and will incur his wrath because they make a choice to become an enemy of God. They are against God, listen, because they do not accept his son Jesus and his sacrifice. Notice why that is important. James 4 and 4, James says to the church, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world, watch this, makes himself an enemy of God. Do you see that? When people choose rather to be a friend of the world rather than being a lover of God, notice what James said. You become an enemy of God. Listen to me. I don't want to be God's enemy because of my friendship with the world. But listen to me, because see, God is going to make every man choose his friendship. He's going to force every man to choose his sacrifice through Jesus or be made an enemy of God. And see, this is an unpopular message because so many people love being a friend of the world, more so than a lover of God, even though it is God who paid the ultimate price for our redemption or our reparations. And many of us for years before accepting Jesus' sacrifice, we loved the friendship of the world. We continue to put things and people before God, choosing the world over the sacrifice of Jesus. And so they say to Pilate, if you let him go, I want you to see the pressure that they put on Pilate. You are not a friend of Caesar. And see, it's sad when you see people who have been exposed to the truth. They know the sacrifice that he made, yet they do not choose to receive it or love him. They become even as the religious leaders, and they hate him. You saying, Pastor, if a person has not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, if they not have not accepted his sacrificial work upon the cross, then they hate God? Yes. Yes. Because what he did to free mankind from under the bondage of death. And this is what makes this such an unpopular message with so many people, because so many folk do not want to be forced to choose. Ooh, you got so many people who want to straddle a fence that does not exist. Either we love him or we hate him. Either we receive his work that frees us, or either we are still in bondage to our sins. When Pilate heard this, he met with Jesus. Go back to John 19. He met with Jesus because Pilate did not want to be accused of being an enemy to Caesar. Listen to me. He feared Caesar more than he feared God. And do you know we still have that same problem? There are folk who fear man more than they fear God. Why have you not given your life to God? Why have you not surrendered your life to God? Why have you not accepted his sacrifice? Because they fear man more than God. They love man more than God. And all over this world, there are people who continue to hear the message of the cross, but reject the atonement. And see, once we understand the word, the sacrifice, we either receive it or we reject it. And so Pilate is forced to choose. If you let him go, you will be known as a man who is against Caesar. You will become an enemy of Caesar. But notice in John 19 and verse 16, Pilate caves in to what they want. Listen to me carefully. Choosing to be a friend of Caesar. He had a choice. Notice the Bible said in John 19, 16, then he delivered him, or Jesus, to them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him. He is going down the path to pay the price that we could escape death. He's headed for the cross as an innocent man declared not guilty. But yet he knows the purpose for why he is came. And that is to redeem mankind. To redeem us. Notice that Jesus' death was atonement for our sins. I want to break this down. Three things that has to do with it that we need to understand as y'all continue to pay close attention. His death was atonement for our sins. Number one, it means that he is reparation. He is payment for our he is going to suffer, be humiliated, beaten, because he is reparation. He is payment for our sins. Number two, he is atonement in that through the work of Jesus, we will be reconciled to God. Through Christ Jesus, we are justified before God. So we who once were sinners, when we are reconciled back to God, we become saint. Come on, somebody. See, in other words, when you go from sinner to saint, you always keep in mind that our transformation, he paid the price for us to go from sinner to saint. In other words, he freed us. I said he freed us, he redeemed us, he made us holy. We were not born holy, but he made us holy. He made us righteous before God. Are you hearing me? That's the reason I take serious my service to him. Pastor, why are you so loyal to God? I know the price that he paid for me. And if he would not have paid the price, I would still be headed to a devil's hell. I would still be condemned to death. And so why should I put anything before him? Why should I put anybody before him? It caused him to free us. It caused him to better us. Oh, I'm talking to somebody right now. We didn't bring ourselves out. Oh, come on, somebody. I said, we didn't bring ourselves out. You didn't clean up. Stop lying to people. You didn't clean up yourself. You was incapable of cleaning up yourself. So he sent Jesus to the cross to clean it up for everybody. Finally, in being our atonement, we escape God's wrath and we receive his favor and his blessings. This is the reason upon the cross, the Father lays all of man's sin upon Jesus. He lays it all upon him. The weight of all sin that has ever been committed and all sin that would ever be committed is placed upon his shoulders. He wears that. And so when you hear people talk about the nails keeping him on the cross, it wasn't the nails that kept him on the cross. It was love that kept him on the cross. Come on, somebody. It was his love for me in my mess. It was him loving me when I wasn't worth loving. It was him loving me when I was denying him. This is where our dedication comes. This is where our loyalty is birthed from. Is that we know we were guilty in our sins, deserving of death. But through Jesus, through his redemptive work, listen to me. It ain't like somebody went and paid half of your debt. Now, some of us got happy about somebody paying half of our debt. You like, Pastor, I'll take it. But I want you to understand that when they was beating him, he was paying it all. When they spit on him, he was paying it in full. When they mocked him as a king, not knowing that he truly was the king of all kings, he was there to pay the price in full that nobody else would ever have to pay that price that he paid. And he hung on that cross, being humiliated because of how much he loved us. And when you behold the man, do you love him or do you hate him? Notice Romans, the 5th chapter. He is led away as you turn to Romans 5. He is subject to them. Elam Pilate got confused at one point in examining him and said, do you not know that I have power to crucify you? I have power to let you go. But Jesus said, you will have no power if it was not given you from above. You know what Jesus let Pilate know? Even now I can call for help. And help would come. But he wasn't there to call for help. He was there to be our help. A crucified king, they didn't want him. When Pilate said, behold the man, they didn't want him as king. They didn't want him as savior. Away with him. So they hung him between two evildoers. Another humiliation that an innocent man will be put in the same place as guilty men. They are receiving a just punishment. But look at somebody and say, but not him. Or look at somebody and say, not him. Tell your neighbor, all three men have a story to tell, but shout to your neighbor, but none greater than the one in the middle. None greater than the one who is paying even the ultimate price for those who lay on his right and on his left. We are either one of these men. One reviled him. One hated him. Even on the cross, one mocked him. But the other. I'm that other one. I said, I'm the other one. He said, I am receiving what I deserve. But this man, he knew about him. He had done no evil. He says to Jesus, I know you're king. Remember me. Look upon me with favor. Why is this important? Because even on the cross, he recognizes Jesus is atoning for his sin. Look at Romans 5. We're coming in. Look at Romans 5. I told you earlier, not a popular message, but a needed message. Some of us, even in the church today, when you consider what he did, how do you rate your service toward him? How do you rate your dedication to him? Considering, oh, can I be real? Some of us are more loyal to people who ain't done half. Haven't did this much when we compare what he did. Look at Romans 5. Romans 5 and notice verse number 8. Listen what Paul said. But God demonstrates his own love towards us. What was this crucifixion of Jesus all about? God demonstrating his love towards us. God letting his love for us be seen, be felt. Are you there? But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified. Come on, somebody. Somebody ain't getting happy like I need you to get happy. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood. What justified us? His blood, the shedding of his innocent blood justified me. You are so justified that the devil can't touch you. You are so justified that demons can't kill you. You have been just. Look at somebody and tell them, wake up and realize who you are. Tell them you were justified by his blood. You have an inheritance because of his blood. Oh, somebody go make me preach it. You are new because of his blood. You are redeemed because of his blood. You are made better because of his blood. That's the reason I dare a devil to tell me what I can and cannot have. I dare demons to try to push me out. I know what his blood did. I know the price that was paid. Trying to close it, but you who were guilty, you are now justified. Imagine that. We stood before God as guilty. But when we received that work, that sacrifice, accept him as Lord and Savior. Now the Father say, okay, you've been justified. Your slate has been wiped. What you did, I don't even. It's covered under the. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God. Oh, somebody better rejoice. I said, somebody better rejoice. We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. I am a new creature in Christ. Tell somebody he made us new. And instead of receiving wrath, listen, we receive eternal life. Listen, not when we get to heaven. Eternal life was promised and then given, the payment exchanged. And upon his crucifixion, we received eternal Listen, right here on earth, you have eternal life. But to everyone who beholds the man and does not love the man, then you will incur the Father's wrath. John 3:16, and we done. We tying it in. John 3:16, and we done. See, remember, that redemption, that sacrificial work, it can be received or it can be rejected. Do you hear me? I'm closing. It can be received, it can be what? Rejected. But remember, he talked about how we need to rejoice, considering that we have received the reconciliation. We have eternal life. Death has no more dominion over a person who received Jesus as Lord and Savior. But notice in John 3:16, as I close, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And we know, why did he give him? To die. To be our atonement. To be our sacrifice. To render payment for our sins. You should never look at John 3:16 again. Don't look at it the same. See revelation in it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Gave him over to suffer. Gave him over to be crucified. That whoever believes in him, look at this word, should not perish, but have eternal. If I behold the man and I love the man, I accept what he did, then I receive eternal life. If I behold the man, if I consider what he did and I reject the man, I will, or you will, but tell your neighbor, no one has to perish because Jesus paid the ultimate price. When you understand the crucifixion of Jesus, you understand him being our atonement, him reconciling us back to God that we could have eternal life. And we don't perish. How will you behold the man? Will you hate him or love him? My mind is made up. No matter what I have to go through, I'm going to love him. Amen. I'm done. Give him a praise. Come on, let's stand and rest to our feet as we give him an awesome hand of praise. He paid. He paid it all. He paid it all. The reparation paid in full. Paid in full. No one has to perish. No one has to miss having eternal life. An innocent man. Jesus the Savior died so that we might live.
This has been Pastor Leonard Cochran here from a place of refuge. Understand the crucifixion of Jesus. Understand the price that was paid. When you behold the man, who or what will you allow to stop you from loving him, for receiving what he did for you? Will you be like Pilate? Will you choose the friendship of Caesar? Will you choose the friendship of the world over him? It's your decision. I want to take the opportunity to thank you for live streaming with us. This was not a popular message, but it was a needful message. The price has already been paid. If you're not born again, repent of your sin, which means turn. Accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, which means you are accepting and receiving the sacrifice that he made upon the cross, the shedding of his blood, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We love you. We appreciate you. And until next time, we want you to remember that Jesus is a refuge. God bless you. God bless you.
We pray that you are blessed by today's message. Be sure to listen and share other messages available through our podcast outreach. We thank you for all of your past, present, and future support for our ministry. And remember, Jesus is a refuge.